is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
20 years ago today, March 20th, 2003, the U.S. decision to attack Iraq, to invade Iraq, and to bring down the regime of Saddam Hussein. 20 years ago today, I welcome my colleagues, Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, and Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow who keeps the Long War Journal. 20 years in a moment. Gentlemen, where were you then, and what do you make of our last 20 years now? Officially, the war ended in December of 2011, but I think we can agree the turmoil continues in not only Iraq, but throughout the region, all actors pointing fingers. Mr. Ambassador, your memories of that moment, March of 2003, and what we've learned or not learned since. Good evening to you.
Good evening. I was in the United States. I had moved to the U.S. Soon after 9/11, harassed by the Pakistani military dictatorship of General Musharraf. I was at that time a visiting scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And it's very interesting. As you asked the question, I Googled to find an article of mine that was published on April 21, 2003, in Foreign Policy. And it was titled The American Mongols. And in it, I tried to explain the history of Iraq to an American audience by saying that the latest invasion of Iraq will unleash a new cycle of violence and hatred unless the United States can find ways to bolster the credibility of moderate Islamic thinkers and have an effective plan for the transformation of Iraq. So this was April 21, 2003. I was very much there, and I guess I was saying some things that proved to be rather prescient.
Yes, let us examine your recommendations. Did any of that happen, Hussein?
Well, first of all, the U.S. did not. I had anticipated an insurgency. The U.S. did not. I had spoken about the need for an effective government to replace the government of Saddam Hussein. Look, I had no love for Saddam Hussein, and I understand that there were many reasons why he should have been removed, even though the reasons that were given did not pan out. However, when you remove somebody from power, you should know what to put in its place. And the U.S. was woefully unprepared. There was a lack of knowledge. And then the one thing that happened that we see in all American military efforts abroad that have had mixed or bad results, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, too many American interests start playing up. Contractors show up trying to do many things. Everybody who has an NGO shows up thinking that they will transform. In case of Iraq, I even noticed at that time that the Reverend Franklin Graham had announced that he will send missionaries to bring Iraq unto Christ, failing to remember that Iraq had a Christian population long before America had a Christian population, and that still existed. So all of these little things that were happening, basically, it seemed that Alabama and Georgia and New York were thinking about themselves more than they were thinking about Iraq, and many of them didn't know much about Iraq anyway. And so all of that started. The U.S. expanded its mission. The moment you expand your mission, the real mission you go in for gets subsumed and does not succeed.
Yes, I believe the paraphrase of General Eisenhower was, planning is important. The plan, the moment you meet the enemy, you need a new one. Bill, a very good evening to you. You very carefully documented the catastrophe of the Iraq War from 2003 at Long War Journal to 2011 and have watched it ever since. What is your memory of the moment you learned the invasion had started, and what have you learned since then about the Iraq conflict?
Good evening, John. Yes, I recall at the time I was very apprehensive about this decision to invade Iraq. Look, I understood the Bush administration's fears after 9/11, the concerns over WMD. Obviously, a lot of those claims about WMD wound up being false, but actually some of them wound up being true as well. I actually witnessed during one of my embeds in Mosul at a what used to be Iraqi missile base, where they dug up all of this potassium cyanide that was, you know, what are you doing with potassium cyanide at a missile base? Obviously, it was being, you know, it was precursors. But all that being said, I didn't think this was the right move after Afghanistan, because the U.S. and I completely agree with Ambassador Haqqani. He's correct. The U.S. misjudged a lot of things and didn't understand a lot of things about Iraq. It misjudged the Ba'athist resistance that was to follow. Iran's hatred of the United States and the fact that it didn't want a second front being opened on its border. It misjudged al-Qaeda's ability to rally potential jihadists, misjudged our own capabilities, domestic and political support, the time needed to rebuild a country, to build a government. All of these things, it should have been very, very clear that any decision to overthrow the Iraqi government of Saddam Hussein, who, again, I have no love for, and it was actually U.S. policy to rid Saddam, to rid Iraq of Saddam. But if you were going to do this, it had to be done right. And the Bush administration did not have a solid plan. It didn't anticipate an extended insurgency, and didn't anticipate the time, resources, blood, and treasure that was needed to establish an Iraqi government. We saw this with the insurgency that literally exploded from, I would say, around 2004 up until the U.S. exit in 2011, and a fight that still exists to this day. It should be a lesson for the U.S. Going forward about involvement in foreign countries, about overthrowing governments, and this naive idea that we could just get instant democracy in place. But we didn't learn the lessons of Vietnam. We didn't learn the lessons. Didn't learn the lessons of Iraq. We're not learning the lessons of Afghanistan, and that's not a very good sign for U.S. policy going forward.
Mr. Ambassador, what did the Iraq invasion mean to your country, Pakistan, to President Musharraf and his effort to aid the U.S. in dealing with the Taliban across his border? Did it divert attention from the Taliban? Did it strengthen the Taliban? Can we say 20 years later about the effect in Islamabad?
First of all, we must understand that General Musharraf would not have aided the United States if he did not feel that the Americans could come after Pakistan because of its support for the Taliban. So he switched sides primarily from supporting the Taliban to supporting the Americans out of necessity. And the Bush administration misread that and saw that as a genuine change of heart, which it was not. So we must not confuse this. I know that there is a narrative in the U.S. about how he was a good man, General Musharraf was a good man and wanted to do what the Americans wanted. He didn't completely want that. But that said, I think that the distraction that came from the Iraq war basically made the United States drop the ball on Afghanistan. And that included dropping the ball on understanding what General Musharraf was or was not doing. So the Taliban were able to reconstitute themselves in a very short time. And so between 2003 and 2006, the Americans weren't paying attention. And that is when the Taliban were reorganizing themselves in Peshawar and Quetta in Pakistan.
The memory in Pakistan today, is it unhappy? Is it sentimental about the Iraq war? Does anybody think about how the aid that flowed into Iraq could have been flowing into Pakistan, at least in subsequent years to the initial invasion?
I don't think that anybody pays much attention to that or thinks much about it, unfortunately, because much more has happened since then, and Pakistan and Afghanistan have gone through so much more that it's a distant memory. But would it have been ideal if the United States had completed its war effort in Afghanistan, uproot al-Qaeda, finish off the Taliban, left a government in charge, that understood Afghanistan and that was made up of Afghans instead of introducing hundreds of young Americans with their own idealism trying to reshape Afghanistan, yeah, it would have been good for all or everybody involved, including for the Pakistani leadership, if it had received the kind of attention that it needed to, including tough love in making Pakistan change its policy towards jihadi groups.
Bill, of all the conversations over the years we've had with your colleague Tom Jocelyn as well, the one I remember most vividly is your embed in Mosul with Iraqi forces waking up to IED attacks somewhere in the city. What year was that, Bill?
That was 2008. It was nearly, that was about almost 15 years ago to the date. It was Easter 2008. Yeah, it was one of the largest suicide attacks in Iraq, and it was carried out by a former Guantanamo detainee, believe it or not. It was at a combat outpost, a couple called Combat Outpost Inman. I was embedded with the U.S. Military training teams in Mosul that were partnered with Iraqi military units. And yeah, it was one of the most horrific things I've ever seen. A suicide bomber went. I was actually at that base 2 days prior to the attack where they were leaving an Iraqi commander. And I remember pulling into the base, turning to the colonel of the U.S. military transition team leader, saying, "What's going on here? We drove straight onto the base. There was no serpentine barriers." And I was just puzzled. I was like, this is prime for an attack. And he said, "Yeah, this is why we're leaving the commander." They didn't relieve him quick enough because nothing changed. The suicide bomber drove a truck packed with, they believe there were about 20,000 pounds of explosives, a dump truck that was armored and detonated right in the middle of these three buildings. It looked like Oklahoma City times three, a massive crater in the middle of these three buildings that were in a triangle. I believe that I recall 13 Iraqi troops. They were lucky that more Iraqi troops weren't killed. At least 13 were killed, and at least several dozen were wounded. And this was 2008. That insurgency was still going on. People act like, you know, the memories are short, John, that the Islamic State was the, you know, that they popped out of nowhere in 2013 and 14 and ravaged Iraq. And really, they're the successors of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Al-Qaeda set the conditions for this. This is what the U.S., you know, this invasion, the lack of planning and lack of foresight created this network within Iraq that just we were unable to suppress and just destroyed Iraqi society and something that Iraq is still dealing with today. And it's had far-reaching consequences, the recruiting of jihadists from across the world that have gone into Iraq and then have left Iraq and gone back to their home countries and imparted knowledge on jihadist movements there.
Bill Rajo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, remembering and reflecting on the Iraq War, 20 March 2003 to officially 18 December 2011. However, a war like that never ends. When we come back, 2023, and the conflict in Afghanistan, the conflict in Pakistan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.